Very good evening and welcome. Tonight we talk about mind food, things that we ought to take note. And the first piece of food for you for thought is, when you drive into this church compound, please understand there are also traffic rules. When it says no entry, means no entry. When it says turn left, please turn left. Because life and limb are at stake. So that's my announcement. Please, all motorists, drivers, be very careful. In the apartment where I live, recently there were two accidents inside the car park because people drive recklessly. So let that not happen in this church. Thank you very much. What do we talk about? Mind food. How do you feed your mind? Today, the most powerful and only superpower in the world is embroiled in a war in Iraq. A war that it started but doesn't know how to end. And there are concerns how to get out. So there America is involved in a war far from its own territory. But you know, at home, America is involved in a far greater and more disastrous warfare. Indeed, that war has been lost long ago. It is the battle for men and women's minds. How to harness that amazing thing called your mind? How to get people to agree, to observe, to conform to laws that protect the nation? America has lost that war. Today the battle for the mind goes on, nevertheless. But, you know, people spend far more time, money and attention on looking after not the mind but the body. For that to them is the most important. Is that so with you? There was once a little booklet called The Reason Why. That booklet, some 50 years ago, had sold 16 million copies, by now probably 100 million copies, written by a businessman in New Zealand called Robert Laidlaw. Some of you have read it, but I think it is quite an interesting way he started his little booklet. He says a certain young man gave to his sweetheart a gift of a diamond ring worth $10,000 enclosed in a plastic box that he sent to her by special courier. The next week when she met him, he says, "Oh darling, how wonderful of you to send me that beautiful box. I spend much time every day looking after that box, polishing and taking good care of it, and I promise I shall continue to do so." You say, "What's wrong? What's happening?" So it is. We all have focused our attention on the wrong thing. Not the diamond ring, which is you and me, in essence, our soul. You have a soul? We have a soul. When God made us. Whereas for all the animals, He says, "Let there be." Animals came forth. In the case of man, God formed us
two parts. First, the physical part, made of the dust. You know, when we stop breathing, our bodies disintegrate and then melt away into the earth from which it came. For all the body parts, when analyzed, are from all the elements obtained from the earth, exactly as God made us. God formed us of dust, of earth. That's what we are in the physical aspect. Then the Lord God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. That is something animals do not have. You and I only. And that gives us the soul, the spirit, and the mind, able to think in a way that animals do not. Able to create, organize, build constructively, fly around in aeroplanes. No monkey ever can do any more than climb a tree. Maybe build a little shelter up in the tree. Maybe. And that's all. God never breathed into monkeys. So there you see we have a mind that is detached from the body. It is the immaterial part of you and me. The soul, the spirit, the mind, that is that part which controls the rest of the body through a most wonderful thing called the brain. So I'll show you tonight. First OHP. We focus on the brain first. This brain, which weighs about a kilo plus a little, contains enormous amount of brain cells or nerve cells. Estimated 100,000 million cells. 100,000 million. And they are arranged in circuits. The circuitry, for those who want further explanation, imagine a telephone circuits in Singapore. When you take up the phone, you can dial, it goes straight to the telephone exchange. And there certain signals are sent and you get to the number you want. That's called a circuitry. It is said that the brain's circuitry of this 100,000 million cells, which are all connected one to another in amazing complexity of circuits, exceeds all the telephone circuitry in the whole world put together, does not even reach up to the brain. And that's what God put in you and me, so that we are able to comprehend, so that you can work the brain faster in comprehension than the most powerful supercomputer existing today. And that will never be exceeded by any computer that man can invent, because God made it. And God made you and me with this brain. Now the newborn brain is like a brand new computer. You know, the Chinese call the computer the diannao, the electronic brain inside us. That little laptop you have is supposed to be a brain. It is. When you buy, it is brand new, it is just full of chips, and you then begin to feed it with stuff, and what you get out of it is what you put into it. It doesn't grow, but you have to put in. This brain of ours is like that
at birth. Blank. Now you got to give impulses and inputs. And the child that you are so happily carrying, crying, laughing sometimes, begins to receive impulses. And these are vital for the development of the child. Because what you put in, that child will remember by means of the DNA in those nerve cells called neurons. And that 100,000 million will be enough for many, many, many lifetimes, because you can never exhaust or use up those neurons. So here is a baby. Oh, the brain. All of us began that way. Then we begin to hear. Here it is. That is one of the gates of entry into the brain is the sound. You hear me? Does your brain take note? Yes or no? I hope so. So when you go home, you can remember that I told you the first brain food is do not drive against the no entry, right? You remember that. Because of the little supercomputers, the little chips got put in there called neurons, sound. At the same time, you see me. You say, who is that funny old man? Here it is, sight. Entry into the brain is by gates. Eye gate, ear gate. And whatever comes through the eyes and the ears, your brain cannot refuse. You know that? If you tune in to rock music for 5 hours a day, a decibel of 100, it goes on registering in your brain, and from the brain, it goes up to the mind. Mind. The mind is the intellect of yourself, your intelligence, your wisdom, your discernment, your comprehension. That is not in here, but that is here. And that went into you when God breathed into your nostrils and you became a living soul in the image of God, and after His likeness, you begin to have a comprehension of what things have gone through into your brain. So we have sight. You see, you remember. You hear, you remember. And there are still another one called thought, the thought gates. Where do they come from? The thoughts are generated in the brain, but by the mind you have. For example, you have certain ideas about how to build an aeroplane. Your mind can then begin to create and say, I'm going to build a super motor car aeroplane. It can both drive as well as fly up, right? Where does that come from? The mind. From knowledge gained, registered in the brain, the mind begins to be inventive and to innovate. That is mind. That's not brain, right? Your mind begins to be active, and so on and so forth. So thoughts must be guarded. Your mind, your brain must not allow all kinds of thoughts indiscriminately come in. For example, there are those who are teaching all kinds of false doctrines today. There are those who make sex a religion. And that becomes very attractive. Remember the one who went to a certain place and with a following of 960, he preached sex
And one day he says, all of us will have holy communion with cyanide. When I say go, everybody drinks. And suddenly 960 people perished. Well, thoughts. Where did they come from? We have to guard our thinking and things that go into the brain. Fourthly, another gate is a lifestyle. You know, the way you live becomes part of you. Where did they come from? Of course, you saw, you heard, and you thought it is good. So you live a certain lifestyle, but that is from your mind. And that lifestyle gets registered and imprinted and incorporated into part of you inside the brain. And it goes on. So here, briefly, is what the mind is all about. And the mind is the director. The mind innovates, initiates, starts things. For example, how to bomb the Twin Towers of New York, right? It's in the mind. It begins to scheme how to recruit people who are convinced that it is good to crash a plane into the New York Trade Center, right? That begins there. And the mind thinks, recruits the people, trains them in a flying aeroplane, trains them into hijacking the planes. On one day, three planes went. The mind directs. It is your mind that directs. And God has given you that mind. How do you take care of that mind? What you feed the mind is of utmost importance. It is crucial. What goes into your mind every day, do you have any control on it? You know, I was told that in America, children are exposed to television between 4 and 8 hours per day. I was in Australia, and of course the mother is busy, and you don't have Filipina mates in Australia, but you have television. Baby, children are sometimes a nuisance. What do you do with them? Sit down, television, watch. And they go on their business, and then the child watches hours upon hours whatever comes out, good, bad, indifferent, whether it is garbage or good stuff. The child sits there for hours, sound and sight and thoughts, all that come into the child, and those are registered. Do you ever think about it? What do you allow to get into your brain every day? If you wake up and the first thing you see is Straits Times, right? Of course, we must do with Straits Times. You cannot do without it, right? You got to know what's happening. But Straits Times sometimes goes to about 200 pages. Wow. Containing all kinds of stuff. If your focus is on business, finance, and everyday concentrate, property, how to invest, etc., and that's all you read, of course, you'll be a super businessman, very smart. And that becomes part of you. What is it you watch for? Television. There are some Christians who are very concerned for their children, especially. They say, in my home, no television. There was one who was so angry, he took the television and threw it away because the television was spewing up garbage every day for the children. And they began to sing those horrible songs and to do those horrible acts out of the television. But today, you don't need really television because computers are just as well. In fact, far more powerful. What is it you allow your mind to be saturated with? And those things that come into you is called mind food. Yes. What is it that fills your mind every day, morning till night? In business, of course, you go through all the business things. What is it you read in your spare time? Do you know? Are you concerned? So these are the various things we got to think of tonight. For what you think you are. I repeat that. What you think you are. You think all the time of evil things, you become evil. And the mind is the most precious thing you have, for that directs the rest of your body. That is the body. The body is only the executive part of you. It does what your brain tells you, and the brain tells you to do what the mind tells you. You follow? And the mind is the most precious thing you have. You must guard that mind. America began to lose that war, that battle for the mind, when it banned Bible reading and prayers in schools. Except religious schools. But public schools, no prayers to be allowed, no Bible to be allowed, when it was the beginning of the schools. When America was formed, it was in God we trust, is in the dollar note. Who founded America? Pilgrim fathers. How long ago? 400 years ago. Pilgrim fathers came from England, Holland, Europe. Why? In order that they may find a place for them to serve God without hindrance, without persecution. That's how they came. So when they had their first dollar note, they said, "Don't forget God. Let us always remember, in God we trust." Wonderful slogan, isn't it? Today, no longer. Bible reading, banned. Prayers, banned in schools. Now, in what do they trust? In gold we trust. It is the controller. Next month, September 12th, we're going to see 16,000 money people converge on Singapore. Talking about the finance of the whole world. World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and all Singaporeans are taught to smile. So that when they come, they say, "Wonderful, Singaporeans are all so happy. And we'll come again." And Singapore is going to benefit in some ways, grow richer. Oh, dear friends, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, two casinos, not just one. They said, "One is not enough, two." Now they will compete, and everybody will feel rich. That is the beginning of sorrows, dear friend. The beginning of sorrows. There will be money. I don't say there won't be money. There will be. Silly people will come there and pour their money and go back bankrupt. And more money into the casinos. There will be money. But is money everything? The mind, in the process, will be polluted, perverted, and contaminated. Guard your mind, therefore. Some people say, "Hey, don't you teach your children any religion. Let them choose. Let them choose. When they grow up, they will choose. Let there be freedom." What do you say? Dear friends, I'm speaking to believers and to Christians. I hope all of you understand. We are children of God. And God has given us specific instructions. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child when he is young." It never says, "Allow the child to choose when he is old." Never. Nowhere in the Bible says so. But the Word of God is precise, correct, infallible, inerrant. Train up a child. Don't you wait. Don't wait until he's, when he goes to secondary school, he will choose. I say, no, not at all. Now I come to the second OHP, the second and the last. If you think You should let a child choose. After this, you will never agree with that anymore. In 1867, hunters in India found a wolf with a boy in the woods, in the forest. And when they saw the hunters, they ran into the cave. Hunters ran into the cave and found a wolf with a child, about 6 years old. Of course, the wolf resented the intrusion, and the hunters promptly disposed of the wolf with one bullet, finished. So now there is a boy. What do you do? Amazing. Here's the face of the boy. He lived for 20 odd years afterwards. That boy had been somehow lost and adopted by a family of wolves. Now, it's not the only isolated case. There are dozens of such cases through history, over the centuries, whether it is by wolves, most of them by wolves. Somehow wolves love our children. Some of them by dogs, which are related to wolves. You know, wolves and dogs, they are very similar. Like, you look at the Alsatian, the German shepherds, they look like wolves, and they are dogs, and dogs look like wolves. So please don't think, where do you invent this? I didn't invent it, it's out of the internet. So, this child was reared by wolves and found in a cave in India. So the people thought, well, now we got a boy, let's civilize the boy, train him now. As you say, teach the child, let him choose. Can the child choose at this time? He refuses to be clothed. You wear him with clothes, pull it off and throw it away. Why? 6 years he's been a wolf. Learn to eat like a wolf, to look like a wolf, to walk like a wolf on all fours. He didn't know how to walk, but running around on all fours. And it's off the ground. You throw food there, he'll eat it there. Then they said, let's try and teach him to talk. My dear friends, let me tell you this. This is very sad. By that time, the brain had solidified. No more impact for impulses to come in. It does not register anymore. Do you know this? This is a revelation, because some people say, you can teach them later on. I say, if you want to learn something, learn it young. The first 4 years are crucial. What you want the child to love, for example, you want the child to love music, start young. Some of you have heard Melody, our relative from China, with a child of four. When she came from China, this child of four had beaten all the other children from Guangzhou, Macau, Hong Kong in a three-city competition, top in piano. I said to Melody, when did you teach this child piano? You know what she said? When she was in my tummy. When she was bearing this child, she was already singing, playing piano for that child to hear. You think that's fantastic? Nowadays, with this computer magic and ultrasound magic, they can see babies in the abdomen, laughing, crying, all kinds of responses. So it's not fantasy. Start young. So this child was trained, even from the womb, to play piano. Today is in New York, and she's 14, and she beats the 18-year-old, and she has become a national celebrity. Start young, therefore. But I am not very happy with this relative of ours. I said, God saved you out of the Republic of China, the Communist Republic, for a purpose.
Why don't you let this child serve God? So that is another matter. So dear friends, back to this wolf boy. How to change him? How do you change a person whose mind is fixed on things? It's very, very difficult. So to all mothers and fathers, I say, train up a child when he is young, before the neurons are fixed and refuse to take in any more impulses. For by then, all those gates are closed. Let us look at God's word now. First, look at your notes here. Why is it so important, dear friends? This is on page 3. Why we must take care of our minds. Page 3, about middle of the bottom half. Our minds need continual feeding with the wholesome food of God's word. Oh, how love I thy law. Is that same with you? Do you say that? When you open the Bible, do you feel very heavy? The Bible is so heavy, you can't even hold it. And your eyes become heavy and you go to sleep. And the Bible is so boring. But the psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. How can you get to love God's law? You ask me, how? Answer, pray that God will help you to love God's law, so that you can feed on that wonderful spiritual food for your minds. And when you begin to read with Holy Spirit illumination, you will see wondrous things out of that law. Wondrous things. The problem with people who say it's boring is because they're not spiritually attuned. They're thinking of their stocks and shares and saying, read Bible, what does it matter to me? I'm more concerned that I get the best price. I'm going to buy and sell and I'll do all that. But I say, dear friends, feeding of body is not the most important, but feeding of your mind. So, back to this page 3. Our minds need continual feeding with the wholesome food of God's word. Not just God's word, but we have many aids to reading God's word. And I want to take a little time to introduce to you. I won't keep this till the announcement goes. By that time, everybody's walking out already. RPG. We have RPG in English, Chinese, adults, teens, junior RPG. My dear friends, because we are concerned for your children, for children are young only once, and you as parents are parents only once, don't wait until they are in the teenage, they are not interested in you anymore. True? Don't wait. Train up a child while he or she is young. Give them, read with them, pray with them, feed their minds with the wholesome bread and milk of the word, RPG. For those with young babies, songs my mother taught me. I have not forgotten what I learned on my mother's lap. God is always near me, hearing what I say, knowing all my thoughts and deeds, all my work and play. He knows. I never forget, because I learn on my mother's lap. Don't wait until they are teenage, they have their boyfriends and girlfriends, they don't want mother and father anymore, they're off. Don't wait. Songs my mother taught me.
songs that endure for eternity. John Sung songs. How many of you have this in the home? Why don't you sing them? Why not? They're so wonderful. Everyone who is in the sick bed will be blessed because they are sick. Then they know, wow, will I recover? God's word is the best comforter. Then we have CDs of our messages preached here, morning and night, all in here, available for you. Right in front here are all these samples. Oh, here is a magazine called Bible Witness for Enlarging Your Repertoire, your menu, you know, menu. Don't get tired every day, eat only chicken rice. More than chicken rice. Something different. And variety in here. 10-course dinner. Bible Witness. So these are just some. And of course there is the Daily Remembrance here. By the way, all these on this communion table are free for you. Free for you. How about that? Come and have a look and take them away. So continue to follow me here, please. Para 2 from the bottom of page 3. Recognize and be daily reminded, you as a believer, your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Please understand, there is no greater blessing than this, that God Himself resides in you. This is the most wonderful knowledge you ought to know. And if God makes my heart, my soul, the dwelling place, how can I let rubbish and garbage come into me and pervert and pollute the dwelling place of God? What is the dwelling place of God? What is it? You and I, we are the dwelling place, the residence of God. Safeguard it and make sure no evil goes in through the ear gate or the eye gate. Now the last page at the back, page 4. My mental gateways must therefore be kept pure. Are you concerned, dear friends? In your home you have absolute control. Make sure that television programs or things that come into the house are not evil and destructive to the morals. How can you do this? Read through the television times and do not allow any program to come in. That is your responsibility. You are accountable. There must be selective listening. Cannot say anyhow will do. Anything will do. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Why is it there is so much crime in some places? Why is it a 9-year-old carries a gun to school in America and shoots the teacher? Why? I saw it on television. They see, they do. Today, television is filled with filth, violence, and sex. Yes, the more the better. Why? Those who perpetrate, those who invent themselves, not violent enough, not sexy enough, people won't buy. You must make it worse and worse and worse, and people will buy. Because the mind of the unregenerate has been conditioned to all this garbage. And if the garbage is not garbage enough, they don't want it. They want more and more evil. This is it. We live in a very evil generation. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, beware. Satan is not your friend. And Satan will not leave you alone. But the prince of the power of the air controls all the radio and the television waves. You know that? That's why his name is called Prince of the Power of the Air. For all the air has all these waves carrying internet, carrying radio, carrying television. Everything comes in by the air, which is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And you are the victim.
beware. We have to take measures to safeguard. Now it becomes clear what I must do. Everything I do each day must be selective, God-honoring. My reading, my viewing, my listening must be holy and sanctified. Newspapers, books, magazines, etc. The music. Music is a very powerful medium of pollution and perversion. Music. Don't follow the world. The lyrics are evil. The music is evil. You absorb them by the ear gate, by the eye gate. Drugs, cigarettes, by the nose gate, by the lung gate. All these go in and go through the circulation and cause not only perversion and pollution of the mind, but also cancer in the body. Why do you do that? If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, safeguard it for the sake of your Savior. For He resides in you. Your body is the palace, the residence. Do you safeguard that body that God has chosen and condescended to live in you? Safeguard it for Him. Honor God. Conclusion, no child of God should live at the level of the ungodly world. Doing what comes naturally was the name of a song when I was in college. Doing what comes naturally. You sing it, you feel it, you do it. Do what? Doing what comes naturally means doing what your flesh desires to do, you do. Lose temper, lose temper. Do sex, do sex. Anything you feel like doing, you do. Why? It's doing what comes naturally. We must live above the natural animal level. Why? Because we are saved. Purchased by God, redeemed at the price of the Son of God's own precious blood. If so, remember, Jesus died for you to save you for eternity. Eternity is what you have ahead of you. Don't jeopardize eternity for today's pleasures. For to be carnally minded is death. Romans 8:6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Our lifestyle, the way we treat our body and our mind, must only be God-pleasing, God-honoring, nothing less. Finally, let us all read this in closing, the one in italic, the last paragraph on page 4. Finally, brethren, together, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, blessed be thy holy name. We bless thy holy name again and again, for thou didst remember us in our desperate situation, lost and undone, and yet thou didst send thine only Son, Jesus, to die for us, to buy us back to God, that we today may be children of God. O Lord our God, hear our prayer. Speak to everyone here who is a Christian, that it will not be a Christian in name, but a Christian in deed, in life, in thought. O Lord, save us, preserve us unto thy holy kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.